Checking in again with State Representative Tacky Chan of Quincy for our probably the last Tacky Talk of June 2026, Tacky.
We have one more full week of June left next week, and this may be our last one, or maybe our second last one in the month before we hit July 4th weekend, which is coming up really, really fast.
Indeed, yeah, tomorrow actually is Juneteenth holiday.
It is. People remember we established Juneteenth as a state holiday. We were like the 47th or 48th state to do it, much to my surprise, that recognized the official end of slavery, which was in the state of Texas on June 19th. Obviously, President Biden also, Congress did a Juneteenth federal holiday to sync everything up. As I like to say to folks, I do think I know a little bit of armchair history. I'm hardly a professional historian, but I like to keep up with what I think is interesting facts. And I did not realize Juneteenth was a thing, nor did I realize the state was among the last handful of states that did not recognize it.
Yeah, I think it's the first, I read the first federal holiday declared since Martin Luther King Jr. Day back in the 60s.
Yes, federal holidays and state holidays are very far few between and actually quite rare. In my memory, we've removed two holidays, which is Evacuation Day and Bunker Hill Day, which were Suffolk County holidays. They weren't statewide holidays, but county holidays. But I've never remember my 30 years of watching politics a new state holiday until Juneteenth. So it's ironic. I saw two of them go away, and only one come into existence.
Yeah, so it just goes to show you how it doesn't happen very often, that's for sure.
Absolutely. And there's always many bills, as you can imagine, up on Beacon Hill, seeking a state holiday for commemorating any number of things. You name the circumstance, and you will find likely a bill out there for that.
Sure, yeah. Did want to mention, Tacky, just publicly sincere condolences on the passing of your mom. Folks might be wondering why we haven't had a couple of Tacky Talks, and that's the reason.
No, I appreciate that, Joe. I appreciate actually quite a few hundreds of people coming to my mother's wake and funeral. You may or may not have heard audio errors over the course of the last 6 years caused my mother in the background when recording at home. My mom was Suhei Chan. My father was Lapman Chan. I lost my father in 1989. So, my mom was widowed for 36 years with two teenage boys, and this one here stayed here with his mom. And she's I wouldn't use the word survivor. She was a cancer battler. She was diagnosed with lung cancer 14 years ago at stage four. And she lived a remarkable life, not just immigrating from Hong Kong to marry my father here. They dated over there and decided to come here, but not together. They had to come in separate ways and find each other again in the days before we had cell phones and GPS. They had to find each other again somehow, and married here in Boston. And then my parents bought their first home here in Quincy. Our second home is the home where I am now in Wallston. Tragically, we lost my dad. And I'd like to remind folks all the time that this concept that's always promulgated, that you have these large immigrant support group families, is actually more fiction than real. I don't know who promulgates this idea that you have these like 20 people coming together as an immigrant group. Refugees is not surprising because of US government evac. But I mean, most immigrants do not come in massive number of same family members. And we did not. So, very limited support system. And, my dad died, and then, we moved along. And then, my mom retired a little young, and at 60, and she traveled the world for 8 good years before she got diagnosed. And that didn't stop her from continuing to do things like lead her church, work with people with cancer, do support groups, translation services, and so forth, and still live life to the best of her ability. And those who know me know I've been with her every step of the way for 14 years. So I appreciate that, Joe. Great job, Cohen Funeral Homes. Kudos to them, as well as my family members, which sometimes, like all family, you lament over. But every family member stepped up, as well as all her best friends. And it was she wanted to die in the bedroom that my mom and dad shared. And through a series of events involving the tree falling, losing power, getting my mom to the house, getting her back to the house. I don't have a car anymore at the moment because the tree fell on it. A lot of unfortunate 6 days of circumstances that led to her end was very stressful. So, but she had a very peaceful end, and I appreciate that. So, if you're interested a little bit in my mom, there's the obituary on Cohane's website, as well as legacy.com, SIUHAYCHAN. Obviously, if you want to talk about this, I'm happy to talk about cancer and dealing with two parents that have now passed away from cancer. And it's been tough. It's been a tough, especially as a caregiver, as long as I've been. It's been very difficult. And most people listening probably never realized the number of things I was juggling at home, whether it be multiple hospitalizations, multiple treatments, multiple side effects, trying to make sure quality of life was good, getting them motivated to do things. I don't think people realize exactly how my other half of my life was actually all consuming. So, you guys will wonder how he can do it. I frankly don't know how I do it either.
Sometimes we amaze ourselves when we're forced into situations that we have to deal with.
Yes, and my routine in life has now changed. As time went along, she consumed more time. So people who have cared for our parents and other loved ones, you know that you start off really small. As time goes along, it increases the time load. So, for example, it was like 25% of my time 14 years ago. And, as we neared the end, it moved into like 75, 85% of my time. And
Right. It's part of the reason that we do these discussions remotely, because you had to be at home.
that is true. And I'm always listening for her. And there's been fun editing by you, depending on what circumstances arrive at my
Yeah, she
mom.
made a couple of cameo appearances here on Techie
She
Talk.
has. And we had a couple of medical emergencies during this recording,
That's right.
which obviously we edited out in the midst of said medical emergency happening at the
That's
hospital.
right.
So,
Yes.
I
But she
learned.
was very lucky to have you and your family to support her in the end. So you should feel confident in that.
Yeah, we have no regrets at all. I'm sad and routine's completely messed up. But she I know she had a good run, and she had some of the best friends she could ask for at her church, and old friends that knew my dad as well as the family. And I can't
Oh,
argue.
that reminds me, donations can go to the Chinese Church of the Nazarene in Wollaston, right?
Yes, I care to make a donation to the Chinese Church in Nazarene on 3737 East M Ave in Wollaston, 02170.
Yes.
The original obit was wrong in the Quincy Sun. There was a error on our part.
Right. Yep.
But
And she
no,
helped co-found that church, I found out.
she did, and she led the women's group there and church groups and cancer talks, and provided counseling for friends,
Yeah.
and made sure that people had their birthday cakes
Yeah.
during COVID, and people were thought of when people passed, even if you couldn't get there. I mean, I remember I had to take mom to a wake, which wasn't really a wake. It was more just getting to the cemetery, and we're like, far, far apart. And but she wanted to make sure she was there, and even if it's being seen 100 feet away, and of course I had to get her there.
Right.
So I mean, that's kind of part of the job. And it's a good thing. But as you can imagine, the juggling of time and all that, and thankfully cell phones allow me to work more mobile.
Right. Yep.
It created a bit more relief in terms of trying to do mom stuff and answer phone calls and respond to emails and read documents.
Right.
I'm trying to do both at the same time. So there's many stories about, we could talk a different day. We want to talk about cancer treatments and how come I know so much about this stuff.
Well, when we talk about, the healthcare industry here in Massachusetts, I mean, you're speaking from experience.
I will say that the amount of money the state has invested in biotechnology has most definitely extended my mother's life in a terminal illness. She had used three different targeted biotechnology drugs. We had also gone through two instances of standard chemical infusion. She's had two bouts of pneumonia. The second one, as most I think talked about last year, was much more severe. She's had fluid in her lungs. She's had low-grade fevers for months at a time. She's had falls. She's had all kinds of side effects associated to these various drugs. That she muscled through. And that one time, I'll tell you straight up, did she ever complain?
Yep. She kept a positive attitude through it all. I mean, doctors would tell you that's important in treatment.
Oh, absolutely. There was no blaming God or the devil or cancer
Right.
or doctors or medicine. Didn't blame anybody. And she
Yeah.
also never sat there and felt badly for herself.
Yep.
And
Yep.
she, you know, had her faith in her God and friends and family. But she was not a complainer. And you're right, positive attitude went a long way.
Curious, through the whole process, Jackie, with any kind of glaring challenges in the healthcare system that revealed themselves that, could be dealt with at the legislative level?
Honestly, we didn't have that much difficulty. She was at Tufts Medical Center, which was the old Newnham Medical Center, where she worked as a nurse. And that's serious. We went to Dana-Farber twice and asked for a second opinion. At both times, said, stay at Tufts. It's one of the leading lung cancer researchers on the planet.
Oh yeah, they come from all over the world, yeah.
Yeah, so I think, you know, one of the more challenges is just backlog. I mean, we learned to pick the time of days and during the week that no one else wants to be at the hospital. I
I
thought that
see. Yeah,
was
yeah.
weird.
So there's a
And
shortage, still a shortage in the healthcare industry.
there is.
Yeah.
And the other challenging part is the PET scans and MRIs is always a backlog.
Yeah.
And they prefer to use the facilities closest to the hospital. The only
Yes.
exception was during COVID. During COVID second half, we were sent to Framingham for our PET scan,
I see.
which was fine. But it showed that, you know, they had to change how they couldn't use the one at Tufts Medical Center, the Shields facility there, and we had to go to other ones around the state during that time period of part two COVID. But you know, even I mean, it's I won't say it's horrible, it isn't, but it's scheduling is hard. There's always a backlog.
Sure. But I mean, even so, Framingham is not another state. It's, thankfully we have the facilities here in the state.
Oh, people should be very grateful for healthcare in this state. I know that it doesn't always work out the way people would like it to,
Right.
but it's not necessarily just treatment. It's also the compassion and care of the hospital you're at and the medical professionals that are working with you. And we've had experience in self-co-manage on rehab because of the severe pneumonia last year, where we thought we were going to lose her. O2 dropped by 50% in one night. I thought she was gone last March. In 2025, but I mean, you know, ICU at Tufts, you know, a lot of work, we brought her back, and then, you know, did 2 weeks at South Cove Manor's rehab. And again, the healthcare system is multi-layered now, but each layer is essential to try to get people to a highest degree of functionality possible based on the damage caused by the illness.
Any challenges dealing with the health insurance?
Well, it's my mom's on Medicaid.
Sure.
Mass Health, Medicare, and a lot of that stuff is notified through the death certificate process. So, for example, Social Security has already been notified. We have to write a check back to Social Security, refunding them for the portion of time that we paid. So, there's going to be some paperwork reconciling I'm going to have to do, and there's other financial issues. You know that you know another material objects I've been dealing with this week, and mostly the rest of the month. Just to clear the plate on some of the more complicated boredom paperwork. And then, you know, as time goes along, my routine will change, and you know, the house will change along with that.
Right, yeah. What would you advise folks who are, currently caring for someone with cancer?
It's really about a good quality of life, to be honest with you. I mean, we worked very hard to make sure that she could have as much normality as she wants. And also to learn to say no. I mean, I didn't give her everything she wanted because some of the stuff was probably not a good idea based on what the doctors told us.
Right.
For example, she wanted to go with her friends out on a ride in COVID. I'm like, no, we still haven't got vaccinations yet. Those are things you'd be amazed. That she needs to get out of the house, and then you're trying to bottle her up in. Those who know that I didn't come out of COVID for like 18 months,
Yes, right. Yep.
because specifically of my mother,
Well, you didn't want to expose her to that, of course. Yeah.
neither one of us ever got it, to our
Right.
knowledge, has ever got it. So, you know, I have a very specific attitude about healthcare. But that being said, you know, it is about maintaining good quality of life, maintaining good attitude, maintaining good routine, and, you know, keep people from trying to dwell too much on the illness itself. Try to make it part of your daily routine in your life to the best of
Yep.
your ability. And then try to, even if you can't do things 100% you did before, improvise.
Yeah,
You can
right.
figure
Yeah.
something out. Like my mom, for example, eventually learned how to use Zoom. She could attend Zoom church. She
Ah.
found a way to have reunions with her alumni from nursing school. She, which was a global thing on Zoom, she was able to maintain a women's group network. She was able to maintain senior network. She was teaching other people how to use Zoom. That kind of like I can still do this attitude with some technical support from your son. Makes it work. And you gotta be, again, I won't say I was super patient all the time, but you have to have a lot of patience. And as a caretaker, you don't complain either.
I was just going to ask about what about self-care, for a caretaker.
Oh, it's very difficult. And especially a demanding job where you have to make your public appearances, you have to show up to vote. Obviously, folks, I did not show up to vote for a while. I was at my mom's end through that period of miss some sessions. And then everyone has to keep up with paying the bills, and it's this real balancing act of trying to do both. And you have other family, you try to help have them help you out as much as possible. But if you're the one living with your loved one, then that's you're the primary caretaker. So self-care can't be very much neglected. And I've been reminded by many of my friends that I need to give myself some grace and some self-care, because those who know me closely have seen exactly how much I try to do for everyone, my mom being the priority. I get a lot of requests for not just appearances, but for help or advice and so forth and so forth. And I'm very thankful for the people in my office that many of you probably have called or talked to if you didn't get to meet, but they do tell me what's going on when you call. That able to support me, my mom, as well as people we serve. Throughout 14 years. And I told the staff, you all know you've been on this journey with my mom too. It was just not just me. They all love my mom dearly. And my mom, goes and when she could go to my office, would show up and they would coddle her. So she enjoyed being coddled by my
Of course, who
yeah,
wouldn't?
who wouldn't? So I'm very thankful for any staff folks that have come to my office to take care
That's
of my
great.
mom. So, I mean, that's kind of my advice. It's really about good attitude. I'm not a big complainer. I get upset. I aggravate. We've done this on the show multiple times over my aggravations, but I'm not a complainer either, like my mother. I don't envy other people's things, nor am I jealous of people that are doing well. And I think that's a big part of good attitude. My mom was never jealous of other people's stuff. My mom was never jealous of anything, frankly, in terms of materialistic things, nor people's attitudes of who they were. She's kind of kept moving forward. So I think it's a big part of caretaking too. You can't just just kind of drown yourself into the situation. It's really about what the objectives, what are we going to get done. And trust me, neither one of us ever felt sorry for ourselves. We never once did, neither one of us. Now, there was bad days. We just
Of
complained.
course, you're only human, right?
Yeah, the complaining helped vent some of the day's frustration of bad traffic, or we're stuck at the office for an extra hour because they're backlogged, or I can't find her Ensure, which is a constant battle for a long time at either the grocery store or the drugstore, and I'll be complaining I can't find certain things that she wants, not what I want, what she wants. So I mean, but I think that's a big part. It's really like I said, my mom was definitely faith in God, friends and family, and her desire and strength that she wanted to live. And willing to risk more than one treatment option to see if it works out. So, in my case, as a caregiver, my attitude's always been very positive. Like, you get stuff done, don't complain, don't feel bad, and most importantly, make decisions together and have no regret. And neither one of us does. And we made the decision to end treatment on May 16th, and neither one's regretted it. I feel terribly, as you can imagine. I still will be feeling terribly for some time.
Oh, sure. Yeah, of course. Yeah.
It's
But,
just,
keeping that line of communication open, I think, is the key.
yeah, and like I say, it's not exactly parent. It's not like child care of your parents. It isn't, but you do actually have to like be careful too, because honestly, towards the last year or so, my mom's judgment calls were kind of really getting questionable, and you have to intercede. In the way that makes sense and how you communicate to your family.
Right,
Everyone
and
is
still be
different.
respectful, right?
Correct. And everybody's different.
That's true.
How do you manage your caregiving is very largely driven around what will your person you're caring for respond to and how will.
Yes.
So some folks are very positive, some folks are not so positive, some are carrot and stick, some are not.
Yeah.
I mean, there is no rule book. It's really knowing your family member intimately that you know what will help them drive them forward.
Yeah. Well,
That's a big one.
again, sincere condolences to you and your family as well.
And thank you to you and QAT for coming to the wake. And no, thank you for a lot of outpouring of love on social media, as well as flowers and donations to Mom's church. And I know not everyone could come. I do understand we traffic was bad. It was hot, like really hot. Again, I just because you couldn't make it doesn't mean I don't know you care. I know you all care.
Sure. Can we talk a little bit about politics or policy or state stuff?
Sure, we can stop this part of my talking to Joe part of this show.
Well, I think your mom would want you to get back to normal as soon as possible. And I know that just last night there was a b environmental bond bill passed.
Yeah, we passed about a $3 billion environmental bond bill last night. Most of it is revolving around coastal, not coastal, environmental resilience, things like funding, tier funding, loans for like the sewer replacement lines for municipalities. We have something there for Title IX. Well, we're not a septic state, but I'm sorry, septic city. But I mean, a lot of communities are in septic systems. And was it Title IX or Title VI? I can't remember the title anymore, but
Oh, Title Five.
Title V, I'm sorry,
Yep.
Title V. So, that we put some funding there to address upgrades and new codes regarding septic systems. Some interesting stuff in the back includes more studies regarding PFAS, looking at invasive species, some studies in there, things of those nature. So it's actually interesting because environmental bond bills are things that affect you but don't realize it, like
Right.
whether it be water and sewer or a coastline cleanup or the better research we want to do into other types of toxicities that we've never seen before. So it's actually a pretty broad bill. And we got about $2 million for dredging as an earmark in the bond bill
For Quincy Bay?
for Quincy Bay, which might
Hey,
it's been a long project, folks.
hey.
This project is still a long way to go.
Oh, that's not enough yet?
No, it's
Oh.
it you still have to get it out of the governor's office. So
Okay.
unlike cash appropriations, which we can designate to the City of Quincy's Waterway Fund, for example, which we did. We put some opera money and some loose money we had back during COVID to the city to hold on to. I think it's, I'm trying to remember how much. I think it was under 3 million, but I don't have the number off the top of my head right now.
Okay.
But bond funds need the authorization of the governor to use. So BBC authorized the governor, but the governor hasn't executed. So I think he's,
I see.
yeah,
Okay.
I used the wrong set of words. So we authorize the bond,
Yep.
and then the governor executes as the governor wishes. So there's no guarantee this bond funding will be available.
I
Once
see.
the bill is signed into law, myself, Bruce Ayers, and John Keane are going to have to talk to the governor's people about including this money as part of a future bond appropriation.
Okay. All right. So it's the first step, basically.
It was cash, it's easier. A
I see.
bond will work.
Right. Bond is borrowing, right? Basically, it's a loan.
Yeah, and the state actually has a borrowing cap. So unlike people keep telling me that we're in the indebted state, we are not. We generally have a bond cap approximately 2.7 billion dollars
Okay.
every borrow every year. It's actually adjusted by CPI every year, and we do have a debt cap limit of actually just about $28 billion.
I see. Okay.
Compared to a budget of $65 billion and the state GDP just under 900 billion, 900 a million dollar billion, $900 billion of GDP, a debt load of about under $30 billion debt load against the size of GDP, the size of the state. In fact, we pay debt of our budget of our debt, and the budget is less than 5%.
Yep.
This bond rating is good. And we have a rainy day fund of over $8 billion.
Yes,
So I always constantly hear these things like, you're gonna borrow us to death. And I'm like, that's called the federal government. Income and cannot do that. And your complaint should be we're not borrowing enough, because those borrowing we do with addresses cities, roads, bridges, getting environmentally sensitive land, security, upgrading buildings, all that stuff. But because that we borrow on a cap basis, it forces the governor's office to prioritize, which means that capital projects are based on a danger. So, for example, Quincy District Court is being rebuilt, but that was a project that started 15 odd years ago regarding conversation, which took 15 years to actually start to do something, of which they had to find ability to bond appropriate inside a bond budget. Their bond budget to actually fit in there is a multi-year project. And if it couldn't fit inside their bond budget, it was not going to get done unless they
Just kicked out, right?
get kicked down the can and unless the building starts to fall apart. So I'm always surprised that people complain about infrastructure, but never once complain about the state's borrowing limits.
It's probably just confusion as to how things get paid.
Well, it's the fact that people don't want to spend money and get something. And people compare us to the federal government, and we're not the federal government. The federal government's bonding ability is tied to the fact they can print money. We can't do that. And to maintain a strong bond rating, to get the best interest rates, requires to limit how much we bond. The consequence of limiting how much you bond, it makes it much more challenging a prioritization of state projects.
Exactly. You got to pick the worst of the worst, right? And put those on top.
That is sad but true, because I think many are thinking, well, we should do money for maintenance and all this stuff. And that is a very fair statement. But do you want, how much debt do you want to incur? Or do you want to start raising, are you anyone going to sit here and advocate to increase our bond capping to a higher cap number and put our interest rate at risk? Because if we get poor interest rates, you pay
Then
more
you're
back.
paying more, right?
That's correct. So I do get some interest groups looking to spend big surprise money, but also looking for ways to increase our debt load. And for every administration since Bill Weld, there's been enormous resistance on adding to our debt load of
So, would
bond
that
loan.
take an act of the legislature to change the cap?
Yeah.
It would.
Statutory cap would have to be changed, and the bond budget cap is voluntarily by the governor's office.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, they do that themselves within, that's not statutory, it's always a practice.
I see.
But they still have to move inside the overall debt cap.
Gotcha.
So, for example, when we do Chapter 90, we talk about this for transportation money. That's state-bonded money we give the cities and towns. Your school building assistance funds, which anywhere from 60 plus to 80% of your local school building and local school building repairs, that's also bonded by the state. That's on our debt load. So, people don't always fully realize how the state debt load actually offsets some of the burdens of your property taxes
Your property taxes, right?
by your state tax dollars, which is shared by everyone in the state, to be able to provide some assistance at that level. And it's not patting yourself in the back. This is how it works. It's worked this way for before even I got into government. This is how it does. So I do think that the environmental bond bill, well, it's $3 billion, as you can imagine. That's more than $2.7 billion. It's an authorization for, I believe, 10 years plus. That means that it's good bond for this governor and future governors if they choose to utilize the bond authorization in there to pay for a number of different environmental related projects.
So it only gets borrowed as it's used, is that right?
It's an authorization, so you're authorized to borrow up to X amount, and
Up
also.
to, okay.
Yeah, and also if you choose to pay, authorize earmarks in them.
I see. Okay, gotcha. Interesting. Seeing as we're talking about money, let's talk about taxes. Because State Supreme Court just today said we cannot have the ballot question that would lower the state income tax.
Yeah, there's two components to this, which I think actually kind of fascinating. So most people don't realize that we actually have tied other taxes to the state income tax, meaning your personal income tax of 5%. So capital gains, as well as unearned income, like interest on your bank accounts, if you're making enough interest these days, are tied to the earned income tax rate. So if you're going to change the law on the income tax, you have to account for the other provisions that are tied to it. So for example, with interest tax rate goes down to 4%, that means capital gains and unearned income also goes to 4%. If you raise the income tax to 6%, you actually have to also rewrite the law for those other ones that are connected up to 6%. So the court has a thing about more than one question. The Constitution does not provide more than one question. So the court is probably going to do this on a technicality, saying that it's improperly drafted because you didn't account for the other taxes that are in or not, just straight up tied to the state's income tax. Those are old enough to remember. Unearned income at one time was 12%.
Yes.
Interest income was 12% at one time.
Yep.
And people will not remember your capital gains, I believe, was also almost a 9%, 9.5%,
Wow.
depending on short term or long term. If I remember correctly, back in the 90s, I could be wrong because, I'm not that old, and I see a spider coming down onto the table in front of me. That's nice. Live spider. Sitting on the envelope of my mom's desk, if it's no joke. I'm
Interesting.
gonna have to move the spider. But I don't know, things happen when you're doing these things at home. So that's the big question, right? Did they try to do one question or two questions through this ballot question? And they were really doing more than one. And the court got that out technicality. The second
Right.
thing the court commented on was the attorney general's poor writing of the summary. As an attorney, you do not want to get stressed down by a judge. If you get stressed out by the Supreme Judicial Court, that is considerably more embarrassing. If I'm not the attorney general, I can't speak for the attorney general, but
Right.
I would, if I was their boss, I would be very upset.
Somebody got a good talking to, I'm sure.
That is embarrassing for the
Yeah.
attorney and the employees. The buck stops with the boss, and I would not want to be the staff on this case. Working for the attorney general when she reads in the paper that you've been dressed down by the Supreme Judicial Court.
Yeah, not a good look at all.
No, I would be very displeased as your employer.
So anyway, it will not be on the ballot this year. I get not to say that it couldn't come back, I guess, during the next state election. But for this year, now there'll only be 11 ballot questions instead of 12.
Well, it also changes the summary, right?
Yes.
If it's not just the income tax reduced to 4%, the proponents actually have to disclose that it's not just 4%, but it's actually a greater dollar amount because it's actually reducing unearned income and capital gains. So unless they change the law to leave those two harmless, the figures they're provided are inaccurate.
Right, exactly. As the Supreme Court said. So, is there enough time for them to do a new one?
No, it's too late to remedy.
Okay.
If they want to try to remedy this, they had to do it at the very beginning of the process. You're right. They can come back in 2 years for the 2020 election, and if they got to be much more careful in the drafting and better understanding, or unless they were intentionally doing it to deceive the public regarding
You know, I
what.
wondered about that. It's funny you mentioned that because I wondered about that.
Well, look, folks. Generally, I would think that you would have people who do this work of drafting questions be sufficiently intelligent and competent enough to look do know what they're doing. So you are correct. Does it lead to the suspicion that this was a deception against the public on this ballot question? I don't have an answer for that. I will say that if people believe they had that level of competency that they should have, could have, would have known, then it's deceptive. If it's them just drafting a bill and not realizing what they've done, that's just incompetency.
Either way, not a good look.
That's correct. Either way, it's very poor. And I'm hard pressed to think this was a mistake.
And we'll leave that at that. Yeah, exactly. There've been like all kinds of bills passed over the past 2 weeks, Jackie. Is that typical at this time of year?
Yeah, we're in that crunch period where formal sessions end July 31st. As I mentioned earlier, I was preoccupied with other family members through debate. This is the most debates I've missed in my career. And I've been a little bit out of touch, as you can imagine. But yes, it'll pick up the pace. We did environmental bond bill this week. Econ Dev is going to get teed up. It has to get teed up soon if they try to do a conference report before the end of July 31st. Under the
Okay.
rules, you can vote on conference reports after July 31st. As a personal matter, I would prefer they don't do that. But of course, that's out of my control. So you probably see this state environmental bond bill. I'm sorry, the economic development bond bill. The governor should be getting a budget sometime probably next week, ahead of going into July 1st to get at least something before the fiscal year closes to the governor and give her 10 days to approve vetoes. And then, there's going to be some other odds and ends floating around as we continue this year, especially maybe some minor bills that don't get a lot of news attention with some appearances as we get closer to the end.
I know that. I don't know if you were still in session when the billionaires tax was appropriated.
Yeah, we did that. That was a ballot question. It was overdone in two different sessions to change the Constitution. So, change the Constitution requires, if it's initiated by the legislature, two majority votes of both senators and representatives together in the same room in the
Oh,
Constitution.
right. Yeah, no, right. But
Oh, exactly.
this year's appropriation, I don't know, were you in session for that?
That was actually part of the main budget.
Oh, it was. Okay.
So I was there for that. If there's a surplus, which you have no idea, there will be until we get to reconciliation of
Right.
October, when we get the reconciliation from the comptroller and the state auditor. We'll have a better idea if there's any kind of extra money to spend, but until no.
And I mean, there were so many, there was a public records audit bill, a data privacy bill. They extended the alcohol closing our time just for the World Cup.
Yeah, that was a temporary thing. They could have done that by licensing busy street fairs,
I
but
thought so too. I just thought that was odd, but okay.
As the alcohol guy, I was like scratching my head. Like, I get where you're going, but at the same time, we already have a mechanism for cities and towns that's called street.
Right. Yeah. So, but it was a good photo op, I guess.
I what do I know? I've just been doing the same public policy for most of my adult life.
Just ask Tacky before you do anything. He'll know.
That is something that I do not like a reputation for. You don't
Just
want
means
that
you're
reputation.
experienced.
Yeah. The last reputation you want is tacky. Well, no. You do not want to be that person.
And a bunch of other, like you said, minor bills as well. Any in your committee, Tacky, that are pending?
We're still trying to push the petty idea. We talked about the
Oh,
global
yeah.
funds for rounding issues. Econ Dev is the next shot for us to do something like that. MSPCA has been helping push the senior citizen pets bill in senior housing complexes. There was a technical error when the governor's office moved housing and economic development by breaking those secretariat in half. It was an error in the law that we're trying to correct with the MSPCA. So we got that flowing out there. There are some small bills regarding, for example, public accountants. There's actually a Mark Cusack bill to address educational change requirements. The reality is licensed professions over time, education changes, and you have to change the licensing requirements with them. It's like the genetic counselors bill, where we did genetic counselors, the education requirements have been updated, meaning it's more education, not less.
Right.
You need to change the bills to reflect those licenses. So
Oh, I see. Okay.
as a guy that does licensing stuff, one of the boring technical components is the fact that the world keeps moving on better and better education, better standards, and our just needs to reflect those changes as they.
Oh, okay. I hadn't thought of that, but that's a lot of just paperwork.
It's boring.
Yeah, I would think so. Yeah,
Right?
but it needs to be done.
It's important, but it's not sexy.
That's right. But yeah, it is important, no question. Yeah, it has to be correct on the books.
Yeah, a lot of what I do in committee is not like Boston Globe front page headline stuff.
Right.
A vast majority is very small technical issues that
Yeah.
affect very specific professions to update them to the current times.
Yeah. Speaking of education, I know that they're putting together a new framework for graduation requirements now that MCAS is no longer a requirement.
Yeah, I have no idea how that, I still don't know how that's going to play out.
Yeah.
I'm curious when we see that. We did a conference report yesterday on early literacy, creating a more uniform standard on literacy for a K through five in particular. The House and Senate pretty much agreed on updating our educational standards to reflect the best teaching techniques of the day.
Sure. Yep. Anything coming up with the district we should note?
Let's see here. I think the Quincy Oaks has a scholarship program next week.
Oh.
I think it's Tuesday. We have this weekend the World Cup at Kilroy Square.
Yes, a couple of watch parties there for
And
that.
some
Yep.
watch parties. Father's Day is this Sunday, so happy Father's Day to everyone.
That's right.
Generally not a lot of activity when Father's Day shows up. And then we slowly grind away to July 4th. Work Inc. has tonight their annual celebration meeting at Granite Links.
Oh.
I'm a 50-50 if I want to go. The weather looks kind of tough. It's also Granite Links. Parking's tough as people who try to do Granite Links in the summertime
Yeah,
now.
although they normally run a shuttle for big events, yeah.
So I'm kind of like down to 50-50 on that one. And then what else is going on this month on my calendar? I have a number of events at the State House I've gotten back on track on regarding the Asian American Commission youth presentation. We have the South Shore Elder Services every 2 weeks meeting with Health and Human Services and Secretary of Aging about South Shore Elder Services redistribution of work.
Yeah, they're switching over to all colony elder services, right?
Everything but the federal programs.
Oh, okay. All
So
right.
basically, that's 98% of their funds
Right.
have been
Right.
shifted over. And we'll see how that works out.
What happened there? Do you know what happened with that organization? Just the funding just didn't meet the demand.
If you want to look it up, you can find information on their not-for-profit tax forms that have to file with the federal government. Those forms also provided to the Attorney General's Office of
Yeah.
Charity, which is actually available on any number of websites because it is a public document. And it's clearly fiscal mismanagement.
I see. Okay.
They were informed is that they paid for a very substantial lease on the property post-COVID. They have the highest pay scales of any industry equivalent for them. Their executive team gave themselves a substantial raises the last 3 years, of which the CEO was making $400,000, which is almost three times, I think, as much as anybody else was making.
Wow, okay.
And the board of directors was asleep at the switch regarding whether or not these financial budgeting made sense, especially when they're running deficits over $500,000 to $1 million for the last 3 years.
Interesting. Okay. All right. Okay.
Yeah, it's really that simple.
Yeah. You spent more than you had.
This essentially is correct. And they're
Yeah.
not exactly a fundraising organization. They're actually very dependent on state contracts, and state contracts and federal contracts are fixed price for the most part. They did receive quite a bit of opera money. And what has happened, they're not uniquely just not-for-profit agencies, but actually some cities and towns, is they got fat and happy over 2 years of opera money, some bizarre reason, not realizing it was the word one time. No matter how much time I say one-time funds, especially to municipalities, they keep acting like it's forever. And I will
I
never
see.
understand this from the days I worked in the Senate because we used to do one-time funds for excess lottery money to go back to local aid. And we make it
Oh,
very
okay.
clear it's a one-time thing.
Yep.
But they keep coming back acting like it was going to be forever. And for the love of Pete, I'll never understand how come no matter how much they say one time, it never gets through people's thick skulls.
Interesting. Yeah, no, you can't bake that into your regular budget. That's just one and done. Yeah.
That's what was happening with opera funds, not uniquely just for not-for-profit, but some communities were doing that as well. And the place they did the worst job is particularly salaries,
I see.
just like what
Interesting.
we did at Social Services. So what happens, they give them more money. It's not a bonus. It's baked into the salary structure. And opera money allowed it, time the feds allowed it. And and then things come back to normal. The federal government money pulls back. I'll give you a very obvious example. The medium won't touch is Michelle Wu's free bus program. So she had decided to take a few lines off of the MBTA, made them free, which basically paid a T, and that was used by opera monies.
Okay.
Great short term, but
Yeah.
eventually has to be baked into their property tax base at some point, of which I have no idea what they're doing. And
Oh.
in reading the Herald and the Globe, it's been an interesting conversation about how they're managing the budget in Boston. So, I have a very similar attitude as a person who has built not-for-profit agencies and have been governor a long time myself. Yeah, if you get one time, treat it as one time. Treat it as a
Right.
gift. Do not treat it
Right.
as part of your day-to-day life.
Yes, right, exactly. Yeah, buy, I don't know, buy a new fire truck if you're a city or whatever, so, something one time, yeah.
Well, as a person who reads Chinese lucky money, even as a child, I never treated it as going to get the same lucky money next year.
Right, yeah.
So every dollar is a gift, and you should be wise enough to know it is a gift.
Lesson learned the hard way.
What do I know? Like I said, I grew up in a household where we didn't have a lot, and when my father passed away, we even had less.
Right.
So we learned how to cherish every dollar and make sure you treat things that were unexpected as a gift.
We've gone over our hour, Techie. Yeah.
Over 50 minutes to an hour here. We always enjoy our time. We even get around to what exactly is going on in the Middle East this
Yeah,
time. But
we make it there eventually.
we'll get there next week. I think this will unfold more over the weekend to be more of a conversation as we get to read, two of us get to read and listen to more analysts out there that do this for a living on foreign affairs to understand better what's going on at global level.
Yes, yeah, we haven't even gone down that road today, so that's fine. We can leave it
Yeah.
for next week, yeah.
I think both of us need a weekend of homework. This is a lot happening in a short time.
Lot going on, a lot of moving parts here, yeah, for sure.
So
You're back in the office then?
I am
Okay.
in room 42 of the State House. I've always been fully staffed regardless, so people can come visit us. I encourage people to do so and take a tour of the building. 617-722-2370. Again, it is an automated system. There's no pickup. Please be patient. I don't run this office. I do not know how to change the phone system. I won't have my office talk about changing the phone system. You won't believe how little control I have over these things. So 617-722-2370, tacky.chan@mahouse.uv, but the State Representative Tacky Chan Facebook. Again, thank you everyone for sending the condolences and on my mother. I've been the Facebook has been very active on that. We have a corresponding Instagram account, and then we do have state at tackychain.org for resource page and malegislature.gov, which again I encourage everyone to form an account on malegislature.gov. And I'm with Joe every week or two, unless something interrupts, on QATV here with you, as well as QATV@QATV.org. Email Joe with your questions and whatever piques your interest. And of course, check with Joe every morning on his 10-minute news update. And today is actually very windy out there, and a guy who had a piece of a tree come down needs to deal with these trees at some point, because they will do some real damage to the house if I don't address this
Oh, brother. Okay.
in the near term, as I'm looking at my tree sway in front of me. But yeah, be careful. It looks like it's gonna be a windy couple of days, and be safe and enjoy going into July. And I believe school gets out very soon too. So everyone, please enjoy their start to summer once your kids are out of school.
Yes, Sunday's the first day of summer officially. So, what happened to the spider?
It crawled underneath the Quincy sun and my desk biscuits.
Okay. I know folks would ask if I didn't get an update on the spiders.
It was hanging on my mom's death certificates, and it just kind of sat there, and then it decided to migrate underneath it. So I have last week's Quincy sun here as well. I'm sure mine's in the mail now, and this week's Quincy sun. So
Okay. Thanks so much, Jackie. Be well.
thank you, Joe.